And I know what you're thinking, you're sick of that kind of crap. But you better listen, man, because the kids know where it's at, in the city. Lyrics there from the debut single by one of England's greatest rock trios ever, The Jam, which was released 44 years ago this week, April 29th, 1977, is the band's debut single. In much of In the City, Paul Weller, Bruce Foxton, and Rick Buckler are convinced that kids are always the musical authority. But kids always have changing musical tastes. And in the case of Death Pop Radio, just like The Jam, kids really dug the music their parents grew up on. In this case, their parents, who were teenagers and kids themselves during the mod rock movement spearheaded by The Who in the mid-60s. The Jam evoked that era, and the kids who followed them, okay, kids and young adults in 1977 and through the band's existence up until 1982 when they called it quits, were quite convinced that mod rock was the new thing in music. So anybody who's young and follows Death Pop Radio from the booming Chicago Western suburban big city of Naperville will know right away that sometimes you can discover music whether or not your parents turn you onto it or whether or not you were born during its heyday and its period of popularity. And indeed, in Death Pop Radio's case, most kids are digging 90s-style grunge because that's what the band really puts forth on their self-titled debut EP, which is going to be released on May 7th. But it's not only that. They also evoke memories of the industrial rock-dominated period of the mid to late 90s and acts like Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson. It's not all about influences, however. It's a fresh, new sound, which I found out from singer Eric Liljehorn. But it's rooted in several different genres of several different decades. And Death Pop Radio is going to try and win over a whole new fan base who really dug and knew where the music scene was at when thrash and hair metal dominated the scene back in the mid to late 80s. In their first gig to promote the brand new EP, Death Pop Radio will be opening up for the metal tribute band Harvester of Metal, who evokes memories of basically the thrash metal era when bands like Metallica, Megadeth, and Slayer were huge. I'm going to talk to Eric Liljehorn and find out that the band just doesn't simply rest on its influences alone in generating their music. They have a sound all their own. It's fresh and it's new despite being predominantly retro. Death Pop Radio got their start by opening for truly a band who mixes retro and modern sounds. When they were big, they could have been compared to any one of a number of melodic hard rock and metal bands, including Nonpoint, Seether, and Pop Evil, Veilside. One of Death Pop Radio's first gigs was opening for Veilside at a tribute show for Bob Cabo Hilton, the band's longtime bassist who passed away 2 years ago. It was 10 years ago this week I first welcomed Cabo and the singer with one excellent and powerful set of vocal pipes, Tony Engel, into the Cat 105.5 studio. Now, I've replayed this interview before, but for its 10th anniversary, I'm going to do it again. I've gotten plenty of requests from plenty of emails in wanting to relive the memories when Veilside ruled the roost of local rock. That and more as Local Loft episode 170 shows you where it's at musically. Hard rock, punk, metal, power pop, prog rock, and alt rock scene around Chicagoland and the state of Illinois.
Death Pop Radio is alive and rocking the cyberwaves. That name is actually not the group's name, the four-piece Chicago hard rock band. I actually call them part grunge and part metal. With an event that they're going to be playing at Harvester of Metal, believe me, they're going to have a whole new audience if they don't have it already. When you listen to these guys, led by singer Eric Liljehorn, is it Liljehorn or Yahorn?
Liljehorn.
Liljehorn. Yeah, yeah. Now yeah. That I got that. When you hear their songs like Rock 'em Sock 'em, their latest single, which is going to be a part of their self-titled debut album, which is coming out Friday, May 7th, you're going to think it's a little bit of a throwback to 90s grunge. Eric's got a voice that's a little bit inspired by Scott Weiland of STP. He says one of his main inspirations as a singer is Rob Zombie. What do you feel the makeup of an audience or a fan base for Death Pop Radio is? Is it those who like 90s grunge or is it those who like 80s metal?
Yeah, I think just about everything in between that, in those categories. That's kind of the way our band is made up, and the stuff that we listen to and enjoy is anywhere from back then to right now, current Rob Zombie and the grunge era for sure. We were all part of that era at the time. And just to clarify, Harvester of Metal is the band that we're playing with on May 22nd. It's not the name of the event.
I was just looking at the Facebook page about it. So
right. Yeah, but I didn't want those guys to get
They are a tribute band and play everything from Megadeth to Metallica, Slayer, and Deep Cuts, all that we love. But you're going on first before at around 8:45, and then they're on at 10:30.
Yep, back to our home base, Penny Road Pub. That's where we did our first show when we were still Ravens. So we always like to get back to Penny Road.
What brought about the name change from Ravens to Death Pop Radio? You started off as Ravens back in 2019. Why did you decide on Death Pop Radio for a name change?
I think when COVID was first plaguing us all and we had some downtime, one of the biggest concerns we had was people were having trouble finding us. They would remember the name Ravens, but then they would search for us in Google or anywhere else, and they would find all kinds of stuff for the Baltimore Ravens, Edgar Allan Poe references. You'd go probably 5 or 6 pages deep on a Google search and couldn't find us. So that became a little concerning, and it's been a used name. I mean, we first came up with it, DJ and I. We only had one song. It was Ravens. We wanted to put it under something, so we just were like, well, why don't we just call ourselves Ravens? At the time, it was just the two of us. So, yeah, the name change was really spawned from that, and it just kind of fit what we do a little bit better. We feel like we have some, even though, you know, we're in that realm of grunge to metal, we also have a lot of pop influence and feel, you know, like there's a lot of hooks and things that are somewhat pop-related. So, yeah, Death Pop Radio just seemed to fit us. And if you do a search on Google for us now, you'll find about 3 or 4 pages of us before you find anything else.
I found a live video, a YouTube video of Ravens, and you have re-recorded that song for your self-titled debut EP, by the way. As a singer, Eric, what do you feel your standout quality is? The one that listeners really pick up on, the one that really attracts them to your singing. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I think I have a familiarity. I think a lot of the stuff that I come up with melodically is things that people latch onto by the time their second chorus rolls around. If you're seeing us live for the first time, typically they're able to, at the very least, somewhat sing along to it. Yeah, I don't think I'm not singing anything crazy in any weird ranges that people can't sing along to. So I think in that regard, I think I'm a lot like Scott Weiland. You know, I wouldn't compare myself to him because I feel like he's a master. But in that same realm where you can sing along with it, you know.
Just the singing delivery kind of reminds me a bit of Weiland and Rob Zombie, like you said.
Sure.
Just one more question, Eric. Your music seems to be a little dark. At least the videos would seem to suggest that. Are there any goth kids that show up at your shows at all?
Yeah, we've had a few of those, especially when we were Ravens, and the only video we had at the time was Ravens. That was a bit of a dark video that we had released at the time. So yeah, we've had a few of those, for sure.
There's a pretty dark cover you do of I Put a Spell on You, the Screamin' Jay Hawkins original R&B song from 1955. Of course, Creedence Clearwater Revival also covered that in their first album in 68. But your version is like Marilyn Manson-ish. It's really dark and industrial.
Yeah, that's another genre that we, especially me, I'm a huge industrial fan. I've always been, you know, into the stuff here in Chicago, Ministry and Throat Cult, Revolting Cox, and Nine Inch Nails, obviously. They're not from here, but... So yeah, we have some industrial influence as well. In fact, one of the songs on the album that comes out was remixed by a local industrial collaboration, we call it. It's called the Joy Thieves, a group of about 40 different...
Yeah, Like a Bomb, which I first played back around Thanksgiving when I was promoting your show at Penny Road Pub on Black Wednesday back then.
Was that the Joy Thieves version?
Yeah. That's about the only one you can find on YouTube and all the other digital platforms.
Yeah, we pulled a lot of stuff down because the album is actually, while there's still quite a few songs that were on the Raven stuff, the songs have all been remixed and remastered, and they sound way better. And we have a few other, we have about 4 or 5 new ones on there as well. So, yeah, it's a completely different album than the Raven's demo was. And, of course, we're with Dark Star Records now. We signed on with them a couple months ago, so we've got that going as well.
Well, at your show on the 22nd, are you planning to do any new songs that are not going to be on the EP? Any new music you're working on in the future?
There might be a couple that aren't on the EP. They're not necessarily new. There was just a couple songs that didn't make the cut for this album, just based on flow. But, we're always doing something new, and I think we're doing a new cover as well. We're going to see if we can knock that out. I won't even mention it in case we don't, but we might throw another cover in there.
Well, a somewhat dark rock band for these dark times, but they're very fiery and energetic too, and you should check them out. And you can do so when they open up for Harvester of Metal on the 22nd of May. That's a Saturday night at Penny Road Pub in Barrington Hills. Eric, thanks for taking the time to talk with us and share your thoughts and your stuff about Death Pop Radio, really rocking self-titled debut EP you got coming out. So good luck with that.
Oh, thanks, Tim, and thanks for having me.
Electrical paranoia.
haunting, chilling song about death, and actually one of the members of the band we just heard has ascended to rock and roll heaven. From the one and only full-length album of the once-teenage punk band Bloody Mary, from their album Coming of Age, word got around from Casey Ickey, the band's former bassist, and also Dark Star Records, the band's label, that Ricky Lee, better known as Ricky Devine in her early days, had died. She was only in her early to mid-20s this past week. And I do remember going to see and also talk to Bloody Mary, all four members, when they played the Chicago Metal Alliance's Queens of Metal event, which was happening July 2013 at the former Bada Brew in Crest Hill. It was just really sad that she left this world at such a young age. And you probably heard the recurring refrain of "She died" throughout that song, Alexa. Unfortunately, it has happened to one of the members of Bloody Mary. Band was out of Downers Grove, originally. They and the artists we heard before them, Death Pop Radio, share something in common. They both are on the same record label, Dark Star Records. And from Death Pop Radio, we heard their brand new single, Rock'em Sock'em. It will be featured on the band's upcoming self-titled debut album, which is out on Friday, May 7th. And also, Ravens. They originally did it when they were known as Ravens. And I talked to singer Eric Liljahorn of Death Pop Radio. I thank him for taking the time to talk with us about the band's upcoming show Saturday, May 22nd at Penny Road Pub in Barrington Hills, and also about the making and the release of their upcoming self-titled debut. If you want to know more about Death Pop Radio, go to their website, deathpopradio.com. You can download the Rock'em Sock'em single there. You can also check it out on YouTube and Spotify and other digital platforms. You've heard me talk about Tommy Denninger a couple of times, and I did interview the teenager as he was lead singer of the 80s old school thrash retro style metal band End of Anarchy. Tommy went on to Misfire for a while in 2018. He was one of the three who formed Misfire, but then decided to go in a different direction with his music career, leaving co-founder James Nicodemus to call upon his old friend Jay Johnson to replace Tommy on guitar and vocals. While Misfire recorded a couple of EPs with Tommy Denninger, they never put out a full-length album. That's about to change. On May 1st comes Sympathy for the Ignorant. The band will even have a full-length album release show coming up on Sunday, May 23rd, and that's the day after the Death Pop Radio show where they open up for Harvesters of Metal at Penny Road Pub. The Misfire CD release show is going to be at the Forge in Joliet. This, like the Death Pop Radio show, will have a tribute band. This time around, Misfire will be the headlining act. A Little Piece of Seven, an Avenged Sevenfold tribute band, will be amongst the five bands playing, which also includes Sleepwitch, a death metal band out of Northwest Indiana. To find out more about this show, you can go to Misfire's Facebook page. As of Thursday, Misfire posted the first single from the upcoming full-length album Sympathy for the Ignorant, Red Flag, on Local Law. 12 years old, that it can be considered old school thrash metal. It's only from 2009. Diamond Plate was the Chicago four-piece band who first got together in 2004. Called the quits shortly after 2012, and two members of the band, drummer James Nicodemus and guitarist Jay Johnson, went on to be in Misfire. And we heard Misfire's latest single, Red Flag, before that, which will be on their Sympathy for the Ignorant full-length album, coming out Saturday, May 1st. And almost 3 weeks later, on Sunday, May 23rd, they'll have a CD release show for it at The Forge in Joliet. Casualty of War is what we heard from Diamond Plate from their album Relativity from back in 2009. If you're a longtime local metal fan, you probably saw Diamond Plate at one of many famous venues, including the now extinct Double Door. They played there many times. Also, the Metro, which we hope, once the COVID scare is finally over, that we can all gather at the Metro for maybe a Diamond Plate reunion show. Not out of the question. They've been going at it with various different lineups and only one major name change since 2011. The Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club. First known as the Bishop, then became the Bishop of Frankfurt. All members are out of Frankfurt, including William Gertz, who has held the band together after various lineup changes. The band has reinvented itself from a psychedelic, funky jam band to a straightforward power pop act. They evoke memories of early Cheap Trick, and you can hear the direct influence of Alex Chilton and Big Star. The band's latest release is a split single. That's where two different artists are on the A and B sides of a 45, or a 7-inch vinyl, whatever you prefer to call it nowadays. On the B side is a glam rock revival artist from the north side of Chicago named Golden Richards, Zack Attack. But on the A side of the new single on Big Blast Records, Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club's latest. If you go back as far as me and remember the 80s new wave band Missing Persons, the one that was put together by former Frank Zappa drummer Terry Bozzio and his ex-wife Dale, who practically invented the career of Lady Gaga, if you want my opinion, because everything looks-wise that Lady Gaga has done, she ripped off from Dale Bozzio, including her fishbowl bra. But the music is very new wave and synthy. Plenty of synthesizers and keyboards incorporated, along with some chunky guitar riffs. And the Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club will have a music video premiere for this track coming out on Friday, April 30th on their website and their Facebook page. From the Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club, this is Tremor Control on Local Loft.
98.7, that's a fever in my case. That's not normal for me. My blood is typically cold. It makes it especially high. In this particular case, I'm sure you want me coming down with what I got. Your exoskeleton's too hot. You
Everybody put your hands in the air. So convenient and mine.
journey towards Destination Aftermath is about ready to begin. Strap yourself in for a very wild, hard-rocking, thunderous ride. You have the scorching lead vocals of Tony Engel and the searing lead guitar shredding of David Schenkel. What else do you need? You need the first album from Grave Rain, the supergroup that combines the two of them. Destination Aftermath, pre-orders for it and actual orders, and the album's official release date is Saturday, May 1st, and we heard another track from it. Sanctuary, the title track, Destination Aftermath. The band made a lyric video and has posted that on YouTube in about the last month or so. David Schenkel will make his presence known in more ways than one. He has another new band out, Fiener, and they just put out a debut album. On April 23rd, Power of the Chosen One is on Massacre Records from them. And then Schenkel, he, once of Manowar, the 80s progressive metal supergroup, will be a part of House of Holland. Tommy Holland. Yes, they're actually coming back. A benefit called Rockin' for Rock Styles at the Sundance Saloon in Mundelein. The date on that is Sunday, May 16th. Oh, and a bunch of 80s metal tribute bands, including Love Drive, which is an Ultimate Scorpions tribute. Details on that are on the Facebook page Badass Entertainment, or even on Grave Rain's Facebook page. But get the new album from Grave Rain. And after hearing several tracks, I must say, Gene Simmons, hang it up. Retire. And that includes your silly business of selling Kiss coffins. Okay, you can keep doing that. Gene, I think you met your match as a singer, and Tony Engel sounds like a much younger, ferocious Gene Simmons, doesn't he? Listen carefully if you're a longtime Kiss fan. Your journey towards success as a local band or solo artist, we can help start that journey by getting people to recognize your music. Send it to us here at Local Loft and send it to me, Tim Lamping, your music in digital file, MP3 Wave, FLAC or AAC, or CD, cassette, vinyl LP, reel-to-reel tape, timlamp1@yahoo.com or timcatdj@gmail.com. But if you're sending me a physical product, first send me an email, I'll send you a mailing address. Remember, this podcast is downloadable both at podbean.com, all episodes, and if you get the Podbean app for your iPhone, Samsung Galaxy S21, whatever your Android phone is, your tablet, or your PC. Tony Engel got his start being a fiery, scorching lead singer in a little band known as Veilside. And 10 years ago this week, on April 28th, 2011, the band first made the journey into our Cat 105.5 on-air studio down in Kankakee. I already heard This Time, which was the second EP from Veilside, and I was blown away right away. Such radio-friendly, polished, and tight sound. A melodic metal sound that was a given. Simply a no-brainer. Active Rock Radio had to program it. And it's a shame, with the exception of the Cat, that they didn't. Okay, a couple of stations up north, 95 Wool Rock, tapped into them every so often. But Veilside should have been much bigger than simply airplay on a local music show of 1 hour. We took them seriously at the Cat. They included Bob Cabo Hilton on bass, who 2 years ago, of course, left this world. He was the second of two members of Veilside who passed away, Tom Finley, back in 2015. After Cabo's death, Veilside knew they could not continue on any longer because Cabo was such a driving force in the band. But we can take you back to when that driving force was starting to hit its peak. 10 years ago, Veilside's first appearance on Homegrown Tones on the Cat 105.5. It's Tim Lamping. Talk soon.
It's good to be back in Chicago.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
Hey, this is Ron Thomas with the band Veilside.
Whether their sound is small, acoustic, and intimate, or big, loud, and in your face, follow the progress and changes of Southland's local artists Thursday night at 8 with me, Tim Lamping, on the Cat 105.5's Homegrown Tones. They have two CDs, and over the course of both of them, the melodic hard rock of Veilside has been mostly big, detailed, and very high energy. The production of This Time, their follow-up to their debut Chapter 1, contains a solid mixture of fast, loud, distinctive electric guitars, tight drumming, and a thunderous deep bass also featured in the rhythm section. And the standout highly enunciated vocals of Tony Engel. But there's more diversity on this one, at least that's what I found out. A little more acoustic power ballads, actually, which I didn't hear a lot of on the first one. A lot of elements come into play. The backing harmony vocals are something that stand out from guitarist Russ Odeen and John Badalamenti and drummer Ron Thomas. We have the nucleus of the band in the studio with us tonight. We have Tony Engel, also Ron Thomas, and bassist Bob Hilton all joining us, and thanks for coming down tonight, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for having us.
After listening to both records, the sound I heard is that you pretty much mix it up. You got the power ballads, you got the hard rockers. The first album seemed to have a lot more hard rockers than power ballads. How do you say the sound of this time differs from Chapter One?
We kind of got an edge on writing something that all of us are into, more melodic. We all honed our vocal skills a little bit, wrote some stuff that everyone wants to hear also.
And there's also a real catchy cover of Kansas Dust in the Wind, a very tight, true to the original version with excellent 3- and 4-part harmony vocals. That song to begin with had quite an elaborate production with violins, and for a 5-piece band with just guitars, drums, and bass, you guys pulled off very nicely.
Thank you.
One of your originals just got recognition nationally. That would be Along the Way. Virgin Airlines is going to be featuring that on their Rock in Flight channel. How did that whole thing come about?
Scott Cavalaris contacted us through Sonic Bids. He had heard the tune on our EPK, said, you know, hey, I gotta have this. Can we put it on? And you know, of course, we're not going to tell them no in that case.
So whether at a sea level altitude through the airwaves of your terrestrial radio or at an extremely high altitude, the melodic hard rock of Veilside penetrating all levels of the atmosphere. And the great energy Tony gets on his vocals is just one of the things that really stands out in the music. And it's definitely a nice arrangement. Let's take a listen to it Along the Way from Veilside's new CD, this time on Homegrown Tones at the Cat 105.5.
Take me as I fall. Falling vision circle round my head. Can't describe this feeling I am needing, but not dead. And now
give me the right, give me the right, no! I can't see the mountain.
It's on the air at the Cat 105.5's Homegrown Tones. It will soon be in the air on the Virgin Airways Rock Flight Channel. That is Along the Way from Veilside off their second CD, This Time. You can hear more from it and discover where they're playing to support the record by going to veilsideband.com. That's their website. Also check out their Facebook page. From the band, lead singer Tony Engel, drummer Ron Thomas, and bassist Bob Cabo Hilton. Hope I said that right, Bob. Like Cabo Wabo.
Exactly.
It's a big polished sound on this one. Tony and I were just talking as the song was playing, and he said the first record, Chapter One, had a more raw sound to it. This one, you utilized a big name producer and mixer, Chuck Alkazian, who's helped out Slipknot, Elton John, and Christina Aguilera. What do you think most attracts this to listeners? What about the sound? Is it Tony's very powerful lead vocal? Is it the combination of the guitars and the lead vocals? What do you think is the element that most draws this to listeners?
Bob's hotness.
And that, of course, you can't really see when you're listening to a Veilside song. You have to check them out in concert for that.
It calls out to what people are looking for in music nowadays. You know, we're bringing back guitar solos. We're bringing back melodic harmonies. It's what's missing from a lot of original music today.
There's a little more power ballads around this one than the first one. I mean, you had Smile in the first one, but here you have this one. You have My Turn, which tackles quite a scary subject in death. It takes a while to discover those lyrics when you're really paying attention to, as you said, the lead guitar solos and Tony's lead vocal. Off Veilside's This Time CD, brand new, it's My Turn on Homegrown Tones at the Cat 105.5.
And I remember like a candle in the darkest place. Kiss your forehead for one last time. Another life, a second chance. Dear God, I beg you, take mine. Find another way. There's no. I write you. Just to be a better man. I remember my tears. I thought they'd fall down for 100 years. For the last time, I'll say goodbye. Toss in a flower, now you're gone.
Rocking out so hard to the hard-driving, polished sound of Veilside, it takes you a while to realize the lyrics are about death. You know I'll change my ways, little girl, to see you again someday when it's my turn. It's a future outlook on life and death that's a little reminiscent of Pearl Jam's version of Last Kiss. Veilside from their second CD, this time on Homegrown Tones at the Cat 105.5. You can hear more about this album and sample more songs from it, and also go to veilsideband.com to find out about upcoming concert dates. Mark's House of Rock and Roll in Wheeling this coming Saturday, Nightcap in Chicago, 5700 Irving Park Road on May 14th. They've even got a summer gig at Six Flags Great America. The production on this is very big, very polished sounding. When it gets down to doing these songs on stage, do you think the sound is much different from what you do in the studio, or is it the same?
Well, if we were doing this, originally we just had John as the guitar player. Once we added Russ, obviously that brings another element by having the second guitar player in. A lot of what you hear on the record is replicated on stage. The band all sings. We didn't do a ton of overdubs on it. That's pretty much Veilside.
And you have excellent 3- and 4-part harmonies, Tony, as you were telling me. Let me ask you about writing songs. How does the process work? There's definitely a lot to be heard in both the lyrics and the music. Do you work on the music first quite a lot and then the lyrics come in, or is it both at the same time?
We're tight enough as a band on a friend basis to where we kind of think alike. We'll get in the room, Johnny will put out a riff, we'll just start playing to it, grab a notebook, start writing down some lyrics, or me or Tony will take out a lyric book and start reciting some lyrics or melodies that we know, and John or Russ or Bob will come up and, here, this is some chording behind it. It flows pretty well.
Yeah, the music really provides a lot of the emotion and whatever you're feeling from it, basically, that's where the writing comes into play.
These two CDs, both short, they're like EPs, both have like 5 or 6 songs. Might there be a follow-up CD you're working on? Because there's room here to expand upon these.
Actually, I like the idea that we've continued to put out the EPs because it allows us as an unsigned band to keep the production costs relatively low, which means we don't have to charge for a full-length CD. These are much less expensive, so when you're on the road and you play a lot of clubs and stuff like that, we've actually moved quite a few copies just because the price point's where it should be.
A lot of these songs, have you tried them out on audiences long before they made it to CD? Have you tried road testing these songs?
All of the songs on, especially on Chapter 1, were recorded, kind of audience tested, with the exception of Smile, which we waited until the CD came out, and on this one as well, all of the songs were audience tested with the exception of Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy was the only song that we hadn't played out live prior to.
We wrote it in the studio.
Yeah, we wrote it in the studio.
And the lyrics on that are a pretty hard-hitting issue, I mean, of drug addiction. All around, guys, very solid work here. Very melodic, tight playing, and the lyrics complement, too. It all clicks, it all flows. You want to check out Veilside Live to see this whole package. You get the image in your head of the 3- and 4-part harmonies, the great production. When you see them live on stage, it just really clicks, it just really flows very tight. Tony, Bob, and Ron, thanks for coming down and sharing this music with us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Tim.
Very hard-hitting song. And very hard driving as well. From this time, it's Hypocrisy on Homegrown Tones at the Cat 105.5.
Trapped in your 3-piece suit, tied up with Bruno shoes, daddy.
The depth of your hypocrisy, yeah.